Now listen to this. The Bible says, and he wondered at what? Look in your Bible quickly. He wondered because of what? He wondered. My Bible says he wondered at their unbelief. Now I want you to understand something here. This was Jesus Christ that had all the power. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Good. If he could just heal people anytime he wanted, he would have just healed these people. This scripture shows us clearly that their faith was necessary for them to receive the healing. They had heard, listen to this, they had heard that he had the power because they said, which kind of thing were, you know, this miracle is done by his hands. But what was the unbelief? That's what I want to understand. Unbelief is always an explanation for why that thing may not be the way we thought it would be. Unbelief is an explanation. I want to emphasize it again. Unbelief is not refusal to accept. Unbelief is that I have a reason to believe otherwise. That's what unbelief is. That is why a man may be struggling to have faith. Unbelief is rising up. But my emphasis, all right, in these teachings, and again at this point, is that this unbelief is very powerful. It is not just that the faith is not enough. It is that unbelief is an aggressive force that is counteracting the faith. Let us assume, you know, let's just take physics and chemistry or biology just as an example. Let's assume we need 15 international units of faith to get something done. And then I currently have 13. The impression we have is that, now let us assume I have 13 and I have 2 units of unbelief in me. Now, people will say, okay, all I need is just 2 extra units of faith and then results will come into my life. Are you getting that logic? Because we say we need 15 international units of the enzyme called what? Faith. But then what we don't realize is that the 2 international units that is present is not faith. It is not faith that has not become active. No. It is 2 international units of an aggressive force that is killing the work of the 13 international units of sorry, pardon me that I'm using chemistry and biology for things like this. But you are getting my point. You understand? That is, the 2 units, even if I had 15 international units, it still wouldn't work. Because the 2 units are there grabbing at the 15 international units. So it is not just enough to get my faith complete. It is necessary that I fight the unbelief. It's a totally different entity. It is not faith that is turned around. No. It's an aggressive entity in itself that is saying this faith will not work. It's an antagonist. Yeah, that's a very good word. Those of you who do, you know, biology, chemistry, you know. It's an antagonist. It's an antagonist. It's so powerful, it cripples the hands of Jesus. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Let me tell you something about a country like ours. Oh, the Lord is good. Suddenly, I'm having many things to say. Let me tell you something about a country like ours. We have to be careful the way we talk, the way we respond to things. Please, let me not sound like I'm campaigning. Sometimes people get confused. When those who have read a lot of my writings and they've not spoken to me personally, they get confused as to which side I stand, on which side I stand in this Buhari versus Goodluck Jonathan thing. Because sometimes I will talk and talk. They say, I seem to be emphasizing that, look, the issue is not whether you're a Muslim or you're not a Muslim. They say, this man wants us to vote for Buhari. But it's never really so. When I write with a very clean mind. I take, that is, writing biblical teachings, now instructions. I take my personal opinion totally out of the picture. If you want to know my personal opinion, you have to come to where I'm not teaching the scriptures. And we're just, you know, just talking normally. All right? That's how you know exactly what I think. All right? Now, I want to just say something here. I'm not trying to campaign for anybody. But I noticed something in today's Nigeria, this election that's coming up. I will not mention any names just to be able to say my things easily. Some people who are supporting one other person, it is not because they have anything good to say about that person, but they're angry with somebody else. Are you getting my point? I'm not campaigning. I'm not trying to guide how you vote. I'm teaching your faith. I'll show you something as I go on. I actually brought a quote here. I'll give the name of the man and I'll show you some things. You have to be careful. Your opinions in life are not neutral. If you are generating unbelief into the air, you are actively fighting those who are walking by faith. That was why Jesus did not like observers when he wanted to do serious things. Because they are not neutral. Are you getting my point? They are not neutral. Just looking like, let's see what he's going to do. It's not neutral. You are killing his ability to raise the dead. That's why he used to move people away. I've been telling you, if you have to end some relationships, end them. Some people's presence in your life is not neutral. You may think they're not saying anything. They're just watching you. But their unbelief is actively reducing your ability to do well. Oh, may you not marry a wife or a husband that looks at your endeavors like this. Let me say it again. Listen. Don't marry anyhow. I can show you from scriptures, just that we're not going there, that marriage is not always better than being single. Why are you looking like you haven't heard it before? The Bible says it is better to dwell in the corner of a roof on top than under the same roof with a contentious woman. What is it telling you? The single boy is better than the guy that has a useless wife. And the other way around too. So don't think that to be married is always better. It is only better if the guy or the girl is correct. If the girl is wrong, the guy loses the ability to succeed. Why? Because unbelief is not just I'm not cooperating. It is I'm interacting with and opposing what you are doing. As a wife, your husband leaves the house. Tell your children. Don't mind him. He has gone. Let us see what he will do today. He won't do well. You may be going to church and praying for him. But actually, your prayer is for yourself. Because you know if he makes money, you understand my point? But you don't have any faith. You have no faith. They asked Peter Daniels at the time, and Peter Daniels' wife. It was at that time when I was watching it, both of them were in their 70s, the man and his wife. He definitely was in his 70s, so I think his wife was also up to that. This man has struggled so seriously as a young man. And then he had about 3 or 4 businesses that collapsed. Listen, as a young 20-something-year-old Australian white man, he said he was largely illiterate. He literally had what you and I call a generational curse working in his life. Then he heard the gospel of Jesus, if I recollect correctly, as preached by Billy Graham. And then he believed. And when that gospel came, that gospel taught him that you are the child of a king. So he said simply to himself, my ancestry, all right now, doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter. He was a bricklayer, something like that. Or is he a plumber? One of the two. He began to struggle. Do you get my point? And listen, of course, he taught himself to read and all of that. After about 3 or 4 bankruptcies, he finally made it in life. And I told you the story here before. One of the landmarks of his success is that he consulted for 10 minutes and got paid $1 million. You know the consultants? You talk to a company, his fee was $1 million. And the total period of talk was 10 minutes. Unless you think that it's just connection. No, it was not. They made $100 million from his 10-minute talk. Why am I telling the story? I was watching him being interviewed by Rob Thompson. And they asked his wife, how did you feel those days when things were like this, like that? He said, well, he used to say things are going to be all right, and I believed him. That's where I'm going. He said he used to say things are going to be all right. And I believed him. Many people are complaining every day. The husband comes back home. This is how he goes out every day. Nothing follows him back. The fact that you are proven right does not mean you were right. It just means you became right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you kept on saying nothing will come out of it. And eventually nothing came out of it. It doesn't mean you were right. It just means your words were fulfilled. Unbelief is a powerful force. It's not just I'm not cooperating. No. It's that I'm fighting what we are doing. I'm fighting it. Even though I don't realize it. Jesus came with all the mighty power in the world. Every single thing. And the people that he wanted to help, the very people he wanted to help, what was their unbelief? I said the reason why something may not be true. What was their own unbelief? Their own unbelief was that, is this not that boy? When we were in primary school, he broke my pencil. I still remember. If that was how much he had power, why did he not mend it? That was the issue. They said, look, are his brothers not here with us? They mentioned the name of his brothers. The familiarity was their own unbelief. Young Icho said something once, that his wife was not feeling well. That he prayed for her, nothing happened. She picked the phone, called one of his employees, you know, manning their prayer line. That one prayed and she got well. Young Icho, you know the problem? He's naked and not ashamed. Now he caused problem. This is my husband. I better forget that thing. Let me call somebody else to pray. Let me tell you something in life. There are things you fight. My wife is not a perfect person. In fact, I can measure the kilometer of imperfection. You understand my point? But one thing I bless God for all the time, and I'm not sometimes I just sit down and just nod my head and say, if he's preaching, I will preach well. Do you know why? Nobody is more blessed than my preaching, than my wife. If my wife is listening to a preacher, 9 times out of 10, it is me. I don't mean I'm there. Sometimes she calls. I just hear myself talking in the background. Anyway, why am I saying it? That was 68% or, 72% of the reason why she married me anyway. It was to hear preaching. Okay, look, must I get to church before I hear preaching? Let's just marry the guy then. So if I wake up in the morning, I want a word. I just pinch him small. And go minister the gospel. No, really. You must have read that in my book. Shall I say yes? Or I told the story there. But I believed God for that. All right, it was one of the things that I wanted the Lord to do for me. You know. I've digressed again, have you? I'm about to start. Which one? I shouldn't go there. Or I should go there. Go there. You know, I have never liked spiritual women. Spiritual women. They have never impressed me. Sorry. Because you are spiritual. I've never understood them. Now, I'll tell you my reason. Part of my reason was that they knew too much. You couldn't tell them anything. If you tell them, look, is it Matthew chapter 5? No, Banky, I don't agree with you. You know, you easily get tired. You finish preaching. There's a story I tell all the time. Well, you know how where God did not send you to as a single man. Now I go to church one day, now I see one sister for there. My spirit began to minister that I should marry her. Now, I say spirit minister because that's how people's spirits are always ministering to them. And they come and deceive us, make us look as if they are spiritual. Well, me too, I thought I was spiritual. I went to go and visit. The Lord is good. You know, if you not get motor car, you can't come with expensive gifts. You must go with something. What I went with the was the revelation of God in my mouth. I didn't know that. I just went, was sitting there and said, hey, Brother Banky, I want to ask you something. Our church, we're doing this thing. I said, okay. They said that we should debate on this, whether this is this or so. I remember that the way I was seated. I said, Lord, thank you. Silver and gold have I none. such as I have, give I unto thee. God in heaven, even the revelation that was not necessary, I added it. You know, because, you see, you must understand, when you don't have silver and gold, you have to give what you have. I talked about in the beginning how it was. And how come when God brought the revelation to Moses, he had, oh, Father, I still remember the word I was sharing like this. Then I went ahead and talked about how it crossed over to the new covenant, how the spirit behind the law, and when I finished, say, Brother Banky, that's your own. As far as I am concerned, she gave me her own verdict. And the Holy Spirit said, did you say I talked to you? I said, no. You didn't talk to me. Half of the voice of the Holy Spirit turned to the voice of the devil instantly. Now I carry my load. I said, okay. Thank you, Father God. It is clear. He said, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest, for it is polluted with unbelief. I left. I could never, listen, I didn't understand. You know, things that just come to my mind now. Experience I've had with, women, you know, sisters those days. You talk one thing, they talk another thing. You talk one thing, like they talk three things. Like I always say, they were not bad people, though. It's just that there was no chance in a million, except I backslid, that I could be their husband. It's not because they were bad. I just was not knowledgeable enough in their perception. I didn't have the clout to command their respect so that when I would speak, they would listen. All those things they disagreed with, I'm remembering them one by one now. They are true till today. I have read the scriptures. Listen. The story I'm telling you, the most recent one, which I just told you, that happened in 1996-97. So some other ones I'm remembering was even earlier than that. In people just, that is, how would you, at the preach, my wife is thinking that scripture, you didn't quote it correctly. And what they call it? Priscilla and Aquila arguing over doctrine. How would they bless anybody? Listen. That's when I tell you, say, I'm blessed. Because if you're a teacher of the word and your wife is your disciple, you are anointed. You're anointed. Oh, I am anointed. I can feel it on my head. The Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? It's simple. Because unbelief will cripple your ability to minister. It will. You are leaving house in the morning. Your wife, of course, I know. There's nobody that young children are most affected by their mothers. If you see children disobey and disrespect their father, you know who to hold responsible. 99% of the times, you know who. Because she spends more time with them when they are young. It's when they get older, they start learning what is right. But as they are babies, it is what mommy says about dad that they know. If she says behind them, don't mind him. That's how they will be saying, don't mind that. They won't know. They'll just be saying, don't mind him. Look, I'm talking about unbelief. That's what I'm talking about. All right? Jesus came with power, raw power. You know what they call power? Raw power. The type that nobody before that ever saw. And since that time, no single individual has seen till now. Yet, he couldn't do anything because the people knew him too well. Their own unbelief was what? Familiarity. There's one story. I think it really happened. But of course, when they tell these stories down centuries, it may change. There's one of these, in Western Nigeria and Yoruba land, they had, having kings there was normal. They used to have kingdoms. There was one big one like that. One day, they made a drama about him. The guy was a tough king, tough guy. So one day, he was having a bath. His wife was rubbing his back, helping him have a bath. Then the woman's mouth began to run rough. And she began to talk nonsense and say, my husband. So this is the whole of you. The man said, what are you talking about? He said, I just wonder. People will just be afraid of you. Because the man was tough. When he comes out, The king is coming. Everybody will be bowing, everybody trembling. He said, this is not the whole of you. Everybody will just be afraid of you like this. He said, because I was just this small. And he was a smallish person. Okay, let me show you why they are afraid of me. He came out of the bathroom, called his chief bodyguard, said he should go and behead her father and bring the head for her on the platter. So they went to the man's house, and it was an influential man in society. Beheaded the man, said that's why everybody's afraid of him. This really happened though. Of course, the story may have been, like I told you, along the line. He said the man was that rough. You know what I talked about that? When it comes to unbelief, whatever way it comes into your life, fight it. Sometimes when the devil wants to ruin people from receiving blessings from men of God, he starts spreading lies, you understand, about them. They will sit down, you know, I keep on telling you, people will sit down and be criticizing men that God, one, has blessed, and two, men that they should emulate so that they can be a blessing to their world also. Say, why are the universities expensive? They don't know how much it costs to run a university. When you open your mouth like that, it's unbelief. You are crippling your own ability to succeed. Be careful. Are the men of God perfect? Of course not. Nobody is saying so. But stop focusing on their imperfections. Stop focusing on it, because when you do, you don't get any blessing from them. Ignore the man. When they say, eat it like this, I don't want to do. I listened to the message yesterday. It blessed me. Focus on that message. When Satan wants to remove your faith, so that you can't be blessed, he starts telling you stories. Is this not who? That one? Was he not here? I remember once I was in a place, you know, Bishop David Odeko. One man was talking about him. Because, in fact, there's a picture. I don't know how many of you, it's flying around now. Picture of Bishop Odeko, Adeboye, Wale Oki, and a few other men. Sort of them looking very, you know, those days, these pictures are old, you know. Maybe up to, this would be like, 30-something years old, you know. Picture of long ago. They were in their 30s then. You know, most of these men. So one of the people who was there that day, when Bishop Oedipo became very well known in Lagos, everybody was rushing for a breakthrough seminar. He blessed me tremendously. It doesn't mean I agree with him 100%. But can you agree 100%? I just push that one aside and focus on the area where we can, you know. So one day I was there, one man was now referring to those people who were with him. He said, that he was with some people that they were saying that, is it not David? Is it not David? Are you guys going to say? Is it not David? Is it not David? And I remember this was many years ago. That was about almost 20 years now. So, is it not David? You are doing, is it not David? He's left all of you behind. Is it not David? When the man will be preached, I used to go for school of ministry there. Humble men who were senior to him in age. There was one man, one bishop that time from me. He used to come for school of ministry. He did not say that this guy is younger than me. He used to come and hear what some people say, is it not David? Exactly what they said about Jesus. Is it not Jesus? Why did I read this story? To let you know that, listen, unbelief is something to be fought. Let me tell you another, let's quickly read another one to show the importance of unbelief and why we must fight it. Matthew chapter 14. The story here, again, is one that every Bible, every person who grew up in a Christian environment must have read, at least known about. That was when Jesus walked on water. Because of my time, I'll just quickly get down to the area where I want something. You know, Jesus left them behind, then he went onto the boat, and the Bible says that he was just going to walk by. But then, when the disciples saw him, let's just go down to verse 25. Because of time, let's just quickly get down there. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, this is where the gist is, all right? This is where we are. Verse 28, that's where the story is. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And the Lord issued forth the word. In verse 29, he said, come. This was the Lord that had the power. The seas used to obey him, and they still do, of course. And he uttered the word in the direction of Peter and said, come. That word, see what he did to Peter. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Why? Because the word went forth that said what? come. And Peter believed that word. So there was faith working in his life. True of us? True. Good. Let us now see what happened next. Verse 30 now says, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. And despite the fact that Jesus was there physically present, despite the fact that he gave the word, once Peter saw the wind and became frightened, became afraid, what happened? The Bible says, he began to sink. He said, beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, help me. Immediately the Lord stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There are two things there. One, his faith was small, but Jesus had said to us, your faith doesn't have to be big before you do gigantic things. But here, what was the issue? The man went into what? Doubt. That was the most important thing. Doubt was already little his faith for him. He went into doubt. Now, listen to something I want to say here. The presence of Jesus, could that prevent him from sinking once fear came in? We must fight this unbelief that is derived from fear. I've shown that unbelief, it can wreck the power of God. In this particular situation, Jesus was physically present with Peter. Peter had begun to experience the miracle already. Yet, once he took his eyes away and he began to look in the wrong direction, he began to be afraid and he sank while the Lord was watching. Now, I was saying something about the country earlier. Can I remember? We have prayed. We have prophesied. We continue prophesying. Listen to the word of God. The power of God to heal the country has been released. Why has it not fully manifested? Give me the answer. Shout it loud.
Unbelief.
Not the unbelief in the heart of the Muslim. Not the one in the heart of the man on the road who doesn't believe. There's unbelief in the heart of those who are supposed to have believed. I have to digress into this one. We're talking about national matters. Christians end up criticizing the government more than anybody else in the name of righteous indignation. I can't stand corruption. That is what the problem is. Corruption is the reason why we are not going forward. Listen, let me just tell you something quickly. It's a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
Corruption is not the reason why we are not going forward. Unbelief is the reason why we are not going forward. It is not corruption. Listen, I was discussing with somebody the other day. Go and read the story of New York police in the late 70s, early 80s. They were as bad as these people here today. The mafia ran the city. Yet those guys developed. Let me tell you something. You only empower this corruption when you keep on blaming it and giving it power. You wake up in the morning and say, we will have gone far. Corruption is so powerful, more powerful than our God, we can't go anywhere. We will have gone far in this country. Without the prayer we are praying, the only problem is that God, since he has not tackled corruption, I am stagnated, my brother is stagnated, my sister is stagnated, my wife is stagnated, my church is stagnated, until corruption is eradicated. Listen to me. He said he prepares a table before you in the presence of corruption as an enemy. Corruption cannot stop you from being blessed. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
what stops us from moving forward is what? Unbelief. If every Christian will talk the way I'm talking, corruption one day will get tired and run away. You just get tired. See, with all this, because listen, what the devil tries to do is to do what? Steal faith. He never tries to do anything but apart from steal faith. Because if faith is strong, in the midst of corruption, Christians will still prosper. The nation will still move forward. One day, one of our brothers who works with Pato told me, many of us know Professor Pato told me now, all right? So he came to Benin for something. So the brother grabbed him and said, sir, prof, my brethren are gathered here. Come and talk to us. I still have I can show you the thing. It's on my, the video is on this, on my device here. Because I videoed it that day, all right? The man spoke at length, talking about corruption in Nigeria, how it's a problem and everything. But he said something. He said he's not trying to, in effect, was saying that we're not trying to, say corruption should go away because it's going to be difficult. He said what we are trying to do is to create a critical mass of people that are not corrupt so that even if the other people are corrupt, we can function without them. Do you get my point? For example, you say you are queuing up in government office for a government contract. Is this because you think that's where money is? If they were not people that had big private businesses, you would queue up at their doors and you don't give any bribe.